Well, last week in the US, I suppose it was a reminder that it's going to be very, very difficult for the Fed to get to the first of their interest rate cuts in the near future. And the reason for that is inflation still sticking too high. And on top of that, we've still got quite a strong economy, which suggests that it's going to be a while before we get inflation really in check in somewhere like the US. Starting with the inflation rate, we had the March CPI came out, and this surprised on the upside. It's not big. Basically, the market was looking for a 0.3% increase in the CPI, but it came in at 0.4%, and clear evidence running through services and shelter that these are going to be sticking points for the CPI. The annual rate of inflation actually went up to 3.5% from 3.2%. Just to illustrate this, in the initial flush where we got inflation coming down, we got down to a low point of 3% year on year for US inflation way back in June last year. Since then, it's been erratically edging its way higher, and that's a real problem. It's there in the core CPI too. The core CPI came in at 0.4%. That was above expectations, 0.3%. And as a result of that, the core inflation rate just got stuck at 3.8% year on year. Adding to the pressures, we've still got a very tight labour market in the US. And whilst we didn't get your major labour market indicators coming out last week, we got the usual weekly initial jobless claims. And they actually came down from 222,000 to 211,000. So the implication of that is we're going to see non-farm payrolls well north of 200,000, possibly touching 300,000 over the next month or two. And as a result of that, the unemployment rate gets stuck well below 4%. It's a tight labour market adding to these pressure points which are running through inflation. Producer prices came out late in the week, not quite as far out of kilter as the CPI. The headline was in line at 0.3% month on month, the market expectations. It had been up 0.6 the month before. As a result of that, the annual rate went up from 1.6 to 2.1, and the core PPI came in about expectations as well, plus 0.2%. That just drove up the annual rate to 2.4 from 2.1. We had Michigan consumer sentiment came out on Friday. This is the preliminary. A little bit softer at 77 from 79.4, but not dramatically so. And, of course, over the weekend we've had the problems in Iran and Israel, where Iran launched an attack on Israel. And this is putting the whole of that Red Sea international trading route back as a problem area, and means that there could be problems running through the supply chain, not least running through energy prices and higher oil prices at some point. So these pressures are still building there into this week in the US, and it's largely looking at spending. We've got several housing indicators coming out this week. We also have retail sales coming out for the month of March. Retail sales in the US have been doing pretty well over the last few months, and March retail sales come out tonight. They're expected to be up 0.4% after being up 0.6% the month before. Core retail sales are expected to be up 0.5% after being up 0.3%. Clearly, that's when we look through the course of this first quarter, we've had good support again from retail sales and ultimately consumer spending for GDP growth. We won't get the GDP number till later this month, Q1 in the US. But at this stage, it's well and truly in the mid-2s, looking on an annualized basis, which is pretty firm given where it's been over the course of the late part of last year. We also get a lot of housing indicators, as I mentioned. Tonight we'll get the April National Association of Home Builders Index. This has been improving over the last few months, and one of the key points in the US is that we appear to have gone through a whole housing cycle where we had a bit of a housing downturn with the lift in rates, and housing is now lifting, has been lifting for several months in the US. And so that's with rates where they are. And so that's another problem, is that the economy is obviously not really challenged by the rates where they are in the US. So the NAHB was up to 51 going back to the month of March, is expected to be around the 51 mark again. That's well and truly in expansionary territory for that particular survey. We'll also get building permits, housing starts coming out later in the week. And also we'll get the existing home sales. Now, going back a month, all of these were ridiculously strong. So for home building permits, going back to February, they were up 2.4% in a month. Housing starts up 10.7% in a month. And existing home sales are up 9.5% in a month. So unsurprisingly, we should be seeing some give back on this. If we don't, you know, then obviously things are running really strongly in the US. So for building permits, that 2.4% plus for the previous month, the market's thinking we'll get a partial retraction there, minus 0.7%. And similarly so with housing starts, up 10.7%, they're expecting that'll come down about 2.7% when that number comes out. And existing home sales, which are up 9.5%, they're expecting those have come back about 4.1%. But the trend line running through all of these is very much upwards and still very, very strong. Moving to China, and you know, the economy there is still showing signs of struggling, and why wouldn't it? You know, because you've still got these unresolved problems running through the huge property sector there, extending into shadow banking and also extending into the way people feel through their wealth, because property is a large part of that in China and, of course, is really under pressure at the moment. So we had the March CPI and producer price index came out. Still well and truly deflationary for the March CPI. The month-on-month was down 0.1%. That meant that the annual rate of change fell from plus 0.7% to plus 0.1%. Producer price index minus 2.8% year-on-year for the most recent month, from minus 2.7% the month before. And also international trade is not helping China much at all at the moment. It's coming back somewhat. And we had March exports came out. Going back to January, February, they were up 7.1% year-on-year. That turned to down 7.5% year-on-year for the month of March. And imports, which were up 3.5% year-on-year going back to February, were down 1.9%. All of these were disappointments too. Moving into this week, we get big data reports out of China on Tuesday, our time. We're going to get some Q1 GDP coming out. If anything, this is going to come back somewhat. They're always difficult figures to either interpret or believe, but Q1 GDP is expected to come back to 4.8% year-on-year from 5.2% going back to Q4 last year. We get also March fixed asset investment spending, industrial production, and also retail sales, all of them looking just either about where they were the month before, which wasn't particularly strong in the case of fixed asset investment, you know, 4.3% year-on-year, we think, from 4.2%. And for industrial production, a pullback from 7% year-on-year into the sixes. And March retail sales coming back from 5.5% year-on-year, probably to 5.1%, the market thinks. But yeah, these are just showing an economy which is really beset by problems and is struggling to maintain momentum. Moving to Australia last week, and we had a few indicators came out. We had March home loans, and these were up 1.6%. It's month-on-month. It's also interesting that the previous month's report of down 4.6% was revised by down 0.9%. So quite strong home loans data coming out here last week. We had March National Australia Bank Business Conditions Business Confidence. Business conditions came down only slightly to plus 9 from plus 10. It's actually essentially still quite strong. And business confidence actually improved slightly from zero to plus one. So slightly more optimist now for business rather than pessimist. We also, of course, had some policy announcements last week here. Sort of the government is it's making the economy, or planning to make the economy, less efficient in the process of trying to pick winners. And so they're talking about trying to subsidise and pick particular winners, and some of this may come through in the budget. Almost immediately, the President of the Industrial Commission came out and said, look, this is probably the wrong way to go. And this really does take us back to 1970s and 1980s style policies, which contributed so much to the high inflation that was there for the best part of two decades. So just some worries starting to run through the policy prescription there with some of the things that are being announced. In our part of the world, we had the RBNZ. They've got a cash rate of 5.5%. Go back to their previous meeting, they seem to be hinting that they could be thinking about interest rate cuts. They withdrew from that entirely in this latest meeting, and they're holding the cash rate there at 5.5%. And this week here in Australia, we've got two really important weeks coming ahead of us here for data. This week, we have the labour force report coming out on Thursday, and the following week we'll have the first quarter CPI coming out. Both of these will influence what the Reserve Bank does with its forecasts when it has its next meeting on the first Tuesday in May, because at the same time it's going to be producing its monetary policy statement then too. And the first one, this one this week, is likely to show that their latest forecasts are just way out of kilter, because they were forecasting that there would be substantial weakening in the labour market through the first part of this year. Going back to February, we had a very large lift in employment, 116,500. The annual growth in employment is 3.2% year on year at the moment. And on their forecasts, which were only brought out back in February, they've got employment growth getting down to 2% by the middle of the year. Similarly, the unemployment rate, which came down to 3.7% back in February, the forecasts for that are that it's going to average 4.2% through the second quarter of this year. So these forecasts are looking way too pessimistic on the softening in the labour market. But as a result of that, of course, it underpins wages. And so watching what comes out this week, market consensus is plus 7,200 for employment after the 116,500 increase the month before. If it's anywhere near that, it's consolidating that very large increase we had the month before and still showing a lot of tightness. Also, the market's expecting that we'll get a lift in the participation rate, and as a result of that, the unemployment rate might lift from 3.7% to 3.9%. But bearing in mind that around this time, the Reserve Bank thought that the unemployment rate was going to be around 4.2. So we are running much tighter with these numbers than expected, and that's going to be a pressure point when the Reserve Bank has to admit that in its forecast when it comes out at the beginning of May. It's unsurprising that not only in the US but here, the expectations about when central banks can start to bring interest rates down have been pushed out, and now there's very few people who believe that we can really start to get interest rates down in this year. It's going to be into a 2025 story. But the data this week will be a pretty important part of this as well. Hopefully it won't be too strong. If employment actually rises more than that 7,200, then it's not just a case of not being able to bring interest rates down. It's a case that we may need to push interest rates up higher. And so and that's the way in which we'll be looking at things next week when we look towards the quarterly CPI and the pressure points running through there. Going back to Europe last week, we had the Centix Investor Sentiment Survey. That improved to minus 5.9 from minus 10.5. We also had the ECB meeting, and you know, they seem to be backing away from paving the way for a mid-year interest rate cut. So they left their cash rate at 4%, and you know, the commentary, if anything, was not quite as dovish as it was going back to the meeting before. In Europe this week, not a lot more. So we get things like industrial production coming out. Might be a slight improvement in that for the month of February. And we get the ZEW economic sentiment survey, which, if anything, has been improving for the month of April. It was up to 33.5 going back to March, and they think they'll get up to about 37.2. So, you know, just watching all these developments around the world, you know, the geopolitical problems, the initial knee-jerk on those is that you sort of buy safe haven assets, and so a little bit of buying of bonds, but that's going to be very, very temporary, because the bigger issue is that, if anything, it makes it even more difficult for the central banks to countenance cutting rates as we go forward. So we should expect some volatility running through there.